This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious God, as you call us all to be changed, to be transfigured, may our prayer be that of the old Negro spiritual. Lord, I know that I'm not all that I ought to be, and I know that I am not yet all that I'm going to be, but Lord, I sure thank you, I'm not what I used to be. Amen. We shall all be changed. And I'm not talking about the baby that we're about to baptize. There is a scripture scholar by the name of Muhlenberg who talks about the scriptures and the importance of them and the way that we look upon them. He writes, "At one and the same time, the biblical past not only illumines the present, but itself part of the present, part of us. Until you can read the story of Adam and Eve, or Abraham and Sarah, of David and Bathsheba, or the story of the Transfiguration as your own story, you have not really understood it. The books of the Bible are about ourselves, our own apostasies, our own battles, our own blessings. The story of the Transfiguration that we hear from Matthew, Mark, and Luke on the different Sundays that precede us entering into the Lenten season are not just to give us information about Jesus. After all, Jesus didn't really need the Transfiguration because it was just a few short weeks ago when he himself was baptized by John that he already heard this voice speaking to him from heaven. You are my son, my beloved. So there has to be something about this story that has to do with Peter, James, and John, and consequently has to do with us. So why Peter, James, and John? Why not all 12? I could imagine if I was an apostle with those days and Jesus says, I'm going up the mountain and you three come and the rest of the 90, you got to stay here. I don't think I'd have been a very happy camper. So let's look a little bit at Peter, James, and John and maybe we can get an understanding as to how this is about them and also about us. Peter. The gospel begins today, 6 days after Peter had acknowledged who Jesus was. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But remember the conversation that happens right after that, where suddenly Jesus starts talking about suffering and dying, and Peter says, no, it ain't going to happen that way, Jesus. And Jesus has to remonstrate Peter and end up saying those famous words, get behind me, Satan. So Peter has the wrong understanding. And we all know what's going to happen with Peter later in the story. Jesus gets arrested, betrayed by Judas. And Peter's warming his hands by the fire. Hey, you're one of this man's disciples. I don't even know who this Jesus is. Peter messes up big time, big time. So maybe there's something there. But then again, we know what's going to happen to Peter after Jesus ascends back to heaven. He is one of the few who are able to come back to the Rome, as the story goes, and he is crucified for his belief in Jesus. James and John, we all know them. It's only a few short chapters after this that suddenly, they are going to get into an argument about who's the greatest. They have, in some accounts, their mother asking on their behalf, but in other accounts, they ask, Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we're going to ask you. Now, isn't that a nice way of positioning yourself? How many times have I done that in my prayer? And what do they ask? We want you to guarantee us that when you come into your glory, we are going to be right next to you. You don't know what you're asking for. And Jesus has to help them to understand that it's not about the power and the glory. It's about dying to self. And of course, James is the one who historically is the only one recorded in the Bible as actually dying for the faith. We know that they all died, save John as the apostles. And he dies around the year 40, the first of the apostles to be martyred for his belief in Jesus. John, we believe, lives to a ripe old age, ultimately being sent to the island of Patmos in exile, and he lives out his years there. But none of these three got it right, and they were all called to be leaders. Maybe there's something there. And then there's this Moses and Elijah, who were a little bit reluctant to appear today, but they did. What about Moses and Elijah? Remember their stories? Remember Moses? Did he get it right all the time? No. Remember Moses when they're getting ready to go into the promised land and they want water from the rock and he gets impatient and he doesn't want to do it God's way, so he keeps striking the rock with his impatience. And as a result of his misbehavior along the way, he does not get to enter into the promised land? Then there's Elijah. Did Elijah get it right all the time? No. Remember when he got scared with Jezebel and he runs into hiding and he's hiding in that cave? He didn't get it right all the time either. So maybe there's something here that comes out of all of this. Three of Jesus' main leaders encountering two Old Testament leaders who didn't get it right either, and the voice of God not saying, listen to Moses or listen to Elijah, listen to him, listen to Jesus. He's the one who gets it right. So what does this have to do with us then? Well, I know I don't get it right all the time. I try, but I don't. None of us do. But the call for us is to have that experience of God in those different ways on the mountaintop so that we are able to enter back into the world and make a difference as we die daily to ourselves as we get ready to embark on this wonderful Lenten journey together, a good thing to think about. They encounter Jesus in a new way. His clothes became dazzling white. Well, we are called to encounter Jesus in new ways too. We are called to encounter each other in new ways too. We are called to encounter ourselves in new ways. It happens all the time. You know, spring training started yesterday, and as a father who's got a passion for baseball, I had this dream that my little girl was going to be as passionate about it as I was. And so at the age of 3, I start dragging her to all these baseball games up in Jupiter and down in Miami at the old stadium. And she went along, and we had a great time. And it wasn't until she was in the 7th grade when we're sitting out at Jupiter watching the game, and she's peeling her peanuts and eating them, and we're talking, and she leans over and says, you know, Dad, one of these days you're going to have to explain this game to me. Transfiguration, a moment of enlightenment. It was never for her about the game. She could have cared less. It was time with her father. Wow. Fast forward a few years. Most of you know that Demery took a passion towards theater and the arts. She goes to Dreyfus School of the Arts. Every year, at the end of the year, the theater department has a banquet. And the parents can come, friends can come. And it was her junior year, so it wasn't a big deal whether or not we went, so we thought, and we really weren't going to go. Last minute, we decide, maybe we should go. So Dee and I truck up there. They have a banquet at the Marriott there up by Dreyfus. And they're giving out all these awards, and all the kids are going up one by one, and oh, isn't this nice, isn't this pleasant? And then it comes time for the end of the celebration, and the head of the theater department, a man and a wife team, go up and they're going to present the one main award that they give to one student every year. And they get up at the microphone and they say, for the first time in Dreyfus's history, we are going to give this award this year to someone who's never had a major role on the stage here. We're giving this award this year to someone who has worked tirelessly behind the scenes so that other people could shine. And as they go on, it's starting to become clear that they're talking about our daughter. I start to lose it a little bit, and they announce finally that she is the recipient of this award, and all the students jump to their feet in applause. We almost didn't go. Moment of transfiguration, enlightenment. Knowing that the possibilities, the hopes and the dreams that we have for each other, sometimes they are surpassed. These epiphanies happen to us all the time, these opportunities for transfiguration. And they're not always good ones. Sometimes they're realizations that when things aren't the way we thought they're going to be, it's the other direction. But at the same time, this transfiguration story is our story. Just like Moses and Elijah and Peter, James, and John didn't get it right all the time, it did not stop Jesus from calling them to go down that mountain and get back into the work. And that's our call. So I encourage us all. We're getting ready to go into this wonderful season of Lent together. Maybe it is a good time for us to be thinking about the transfiguration that maybe God is calling each one of us to in our own unique way. Maybe it's a new realization about who God is. Maybe it's to enter into an openness to discover a new realization of the possibilities and someone who is special to us and the relationships we have. Or maybe it's just about something about ourselves. That there is an area of my life that God wants to blossom forth if only I was open to it. May we be willing to go down that mountain and find it out and live it out together. Amen.